You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the beautiful book of Psalms, chapter 22. Psalms, chapter 22. I surprised you, didn't I? Because I teach one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line, and I always say where we left off last time. Today we're taking a field trip, because this is a day when Christendom is celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Amen. The Passover Lamb.
Amen.
Before we begin, everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud taping, and then anointed prayer for America, and then I pray for each one of you according to the gifts of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, healing, deliverance, etc. That's Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping, and pretty soon, True Social taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The marvelous Mercer Christian Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Psalms chapter 22. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, love never fails.
Amen.
Love never fails. Now today, the whole world is calling this Easter. So what is Easter? If you can still find a dictionary that has not been changed because of political correctness there, it will tell you that's a time in April when people go into the woods in the grass and lay their eggs, sexual orgies, quick like a bunny, one after another, to worship the god of fertility, Ishtar, from which the word Easter comes. Whew, good Lord. The word Easter is only one time in the Bible, and it's a mistranslation. I think the devil changed it. It's wrong. It's in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. The original language there from the Greek and from the Hebrew is Passover. Passover. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus is Passover lamb. It's a Christian word. So what is Passover? In Exodus chapter 12, the children of Israel were in captivity slavery in Egypt, and God wanted to set them free because eventually the Messiah, Yeshua Jesus, would come through them. Just like all human beings are in captivity of sin, and the Passover lamb, Jesus, came to set you free from sin. So God said, Moses, take a lamb, the firstborn, a perfect lamb, no blemish, no spot, and kill the Passover. The lamb is called the Passover lamb. Take the blood of the Passover lamb, put it in a basin, dip some lintel in it, and strike the blood of that holy lamb on the lintel of your door down, and on the two sides, tav in the Hebrew, make the sign of a cross. God says, I'm going to kill your enemies tonight, but when I see the blood on your door, death will pass over you. To the chief musician, to the chief musician means to the one who has the victory. Well, Jesus has the victory because although he died for our sins, he rose from the dead. You're going to find that Jesus is actually teaching the entire Psalm 22 from the cross. And it looks like he's the victim, but he's really the victor. He's the one who has the victory. That's what chief musician means.
Ashelet Shehar.
That's beautiful Hebrew. Ashelet Shehar. What is sweet Hebrew? Ashelet Shehar. It means the dawning of a new day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed our sins away.
A Psalm of David.
A Psalm of David. 1,000 years before Jesus hung on the cross for our sins, the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, had given King David 1,000 years before this entire Psalm 22, and it was a vision of Jesus teaching from the cross. Now keep in mind that Jesus now is orchestrating his own crucifixion. He's calling it out, Psalm 22. He dictated David 1,000 years ago, line by line. Jesus is teaching from the cross.
Verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the light season, I am not silent.
Now there's something out of character about Jesus. There are three flashing red lights about these two verses that tell you, say, wait a minute, what's going on here? These two verses are what God calls in the Bible, his word, an acrostic. An acrostic is something God hides in his word. It's got a special meaning, and he wants you to search it out. Proverbs says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the honor of kings to search it out. So I searched it out. First of all, I happen to know that those two verses are written in Aramaic, and all of the other verses are written in Hebrew, in the original languages. Now, King David, who got this vision 1,000 years, is Hebrew, and Jesus is Hebrew, so why in the world is he speaking Aramaic? That's out of character for him, especially when he's in some kind of a pain. Well, there are some people there saying, crucify him, crucify him, and they speak Aramaic. We'll come back to those people. Secondly, you notice he said, my God, my God. If you study the life of Jesus in all four Gospels, he never called God, God. He called him Father. He said, I only do the things I see my Father do. And he said, pray, our Father. And he would pray and say, Father this, Father that, John 17. So that's out of character. And the third flashing red light is he said, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, wait a minute. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's only one God. The first epistle of John says God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Three different offices, but one God. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. You know, God can't forsake himself. You can't forsake yourself. I bet you'd like to sometime, would you? He couldn't forsake himself. So what's he doing here? Why is this? There's a military strategy that says covert activity. When the enemy's got you surrounded, play dead, and maybe they'll let you live. Now, Jesus is not trying to get out of dying. For the joy set before him, he came to die for our sins and yours. But Jesus has to stay alive on that cross exactly 6 hours, because six in biblical numerics is a number of depraved mankind, sin. So to pay everybody's sin debt, every human being, he had to stay alive 6 hours. If he had died at 5 hours and 45 minutes, my miserable sins might not have forgiven or yours. He's very collected there, because even though he's in pain, I can tell you this, the devil tries to take me out all the time. He just tried it over there. Demon walked in. But you know what? I have such peace, because when you are in God's will, you'll have a great peace. Jesus is the victor. Although it looks horrible there, those people trying to crucify him might say, wait a minute, Jesus, you look like you're too happy up there. They might have cut his head off, and then your sins might not have been forgiven, and my sins not have been forgiven. He was tricking them. He was playing dead. All the while, he had it under control. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Now he speaks Hebrew.
Verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Verse 4, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them.
Okay, he says, thou art holy. Did you notice, to whom is he speaking there? God the Father. Now there's a verse in here that's going to tell us that God the Father never did forsake the Son. I'll tell you when we get there. You notice what Jesus does? He's praising. Why? It just said God inhabits the praises of his people. Now listen to me, you. In your darkest time of life, praise the Lord. Because praise brings his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Verse 5. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded.
In verses 4 and 5, Jesus does another wise thing. He remembers all of the other times over generation after generation when God the Father would deliver the children of Israel so that Messiah could come through them. So he remembers that. Now, in your darkest time, praise the Father, and remember that other time that God delivered you. He'll do it again.
Amen. Verse 6, but I am a worm.
Oh my goodness, why would Jesus say he's a worm? He looks down at his body, and it's covered with blood from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. In Bible times, they used a crimson worm to make red dye. They would take the blood of the crimson worm, dip the cloth into it, and it would come up red. Jesus says, I look like I had been dipped in dye of a crimson worm. But he wasn't sad about that. He came to die. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And the life is in the blood. Everything's going well. He's the victor. But it looks like he's the victim.
And no man.
He looks down. He says, good Lord. They beat me with 39 stripes. All the flesh is gone. I've been beaten to a pulp. Isaiah says that he was so beaten that you couldn't even tell he'd been a human being. He could have been a dog or a big donkey.
A reproach of men and despised of the people.
Isaiah 53 says, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, despised of God. He wasn't despised of God. He was despised of the people.
Verse 7, all that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their heads, saying, verse 8, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighted in him.
The Gospels say, they said, if he will have him now, ha ha. Boy, that's bad. The people are mocking the one high God, dying for their own miserable sins.
Verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Verse 10. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly.
Jesus looks down from the cross, and he sees over there Mother Mary. Her beautiful eyes are filled with tears. Her heart was pierced. And he said to John, Apostle John, John, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. John, you take care of my mother. When you're in your deepest trouble, praise God. Remember the other time God delivered you, and help someone else who's suffering just as much as you are. Ephesians 6:8 says, and then God will help you.
Verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near.
He is talking to the Father. He says, Father, I want you to watch this. What's trouble? All the sins of mankind, every human being, every sin you can imagine was gathered around the cross through demonic forces, and those sins were about to jump on Jesus. He knew no sin. He was made to be sin for us. He took everybody's sin, and he said, Father, I want you to watch this. Why? Because when you do those sins, and I do those sins, or Hitler does those sins, or all kind of terrorists cut people's heads off of those sins, and they ask forgiveness and repent. Father says, yes, I saw my son take that sin on himself so I can forgive you. So one by one, every sin ever committed started to come on Jesus. And there was self-centeredness, only thinking of yourself, said, ha, 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 I got you now, Jesus. Self-centeredness thought he had Jesus. But Jesus had self-centeredness. Pride said, ha ha, I got you now, Jesus. But Jesus had pride. All the sins of the world jumped on Jesus. He took them on himself. Hallelujah. Are you alive?
Thank you, Lord. Father, is none to help.
Jesus says, Father, I'm the only one can save them. Not Buddha can do it. Not Allah can do it. Not the devil can do it. Only I am the Son of God, the pure Lamb of God. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows. He is the way, the truth, the life. Amen. He is the only way back to Father's house. Hallelujah. Amen.
Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around.
Now, the bulls of Bashan in the manuscripts read magnificent animals. They were not actually animals, but they were magnificent-looking people. Who were they? They were the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil, that old serpent dragon, old Lucifer there who beguiled Eve in the garden. And so they were the ones saying, crucify him, crucify him. And they were the ones who spake Aramaic. They were the reason he said Aramaic, to fool them.
Verse 13, they leaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion.
Your enemy, the devil, goes about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus is the king, the lion of the tribe of Judah. But the devil is coming back soon as the Antichrist. The whole world will worship him. All religions except the very elect of the Christian will call him Messiah, Jesus. And he's going to call himself the lion, but he's just the devil. Only one half of Christians will not worship him. The five wise virgins of Matthew 25, even half the body of Christ will call the devil the God, Jesus, Messiah.
Verse 14, I am poured out like water.
Dehydrated.
And all my bones are out of joint.
Ouch.
My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels.
The Roman crucifixion would cause the heart to melt half in two. Jesus died of a broken heart. I broke Jesus' heart with all my miserable, rotten sins. You broke Jesus' heart with all your miserable, rotten sins, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He died of a broken heart.
Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw.
I thirst.
And thou hast brought me to the dust of death.
This is a Hebraism. It means degradation. There's nothing more degrading than the tree of life, who always was, who always is, who always will be, to take on himself a form of a body and die for us. Now that's degrading.
Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me.
The dogs are the same thing as the bulls of Bashan, the magnificent animals, the Kenites there, the wicked is the wicked one. You know the devil's not too smart. He thought if he killed Jesus, he'd be God, because in Isaiah 14, first story, things, Lucifer always wanted to be God. He's coming back as the Antichrist, calling himself God. The whole world's going to think so. If he had any sense, he would have known that Jesus was going to arise from the dead. And Jesus came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Poor devil.
They pierced my hands and my feet.
They nailed Jesus to the cross. All the sins of the world were nailed to the cross. Why? In Bible times, when they captured a crook, a criminal, they put him in jail, and they would list all of his crimes, and they would take the list of crimes and nail it above his cell door so you would know what he had done. When the crook had paid the time for the crime and was time to let it go, they would write on that, done. D-O-N-E. Don't forget that.
Verse 17. I may tell all my bones.
I can see all of my bones, he said. They stripped off his flesh. It was nothing but bones. But do you know what Exodus 15, 12 says? Not one of his bones was broken. You know why? Those of you who are not going to be deceived by the fake Messiah, who's the Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on, you are going to be the virginal bride, and you are bone of his bone. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
Amen.
They look and stare upon me. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture.
The gospel said the Roman soldiers gambled for his seamless robe.
Verse 19, but be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me.
Now, Jesus needs a little bit of air. He's going to die for our sins. He came to do that. But he's losing his blood. He's about to go into a coma. And he says, I've got just a few more minutes, Father. I've got about 15 minutes so Sherry's sins can be forgiven. Would you give me a little air so I can last my 6 hours so Susie, so Tommy could have eternal life? Now, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, God says, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now, God's going to answer, and Jesus is still going to be asking for help.
Verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword.
My soul means as one. God the Father says, we're here, Son. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're right here with you. We're going to give you enough air to last you 6 hours.
My darling, from the power of the dog.
My darling, my only begotten Son. Now, Jesus is still asking for help.
21. Save me from the lion's mouth.
He's crying out. He doesn't realize, but wait a minute. Now he's going to realize.
For thou hast heard me.
Wow, you help me. I can breathe. I'm going to get to live 6 hours, and Tommy's sins are going to be forgiven, and Scott's sins are going to be forgiven, and Max's sins are going to be forgiven, and Laura's, and Angela's, and Sherry's, and Joanna's, and Mary, and Frank's, and everybody. Hallelujah. Isaac's sins are going to be forgiven. Oh, everybody's sins are going to be forgiven. He's so happy.
From the horns of the unicorn.
There's no such thing as a unicorn. It's a mistranslation. It means a wild ox. They couldn't kill him. He laid down his life. He died when he was ready to die, when he paid your sin debts and mine.
Verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel.
What he's doing is looking down the corridors of time, heaven on earth, and we're all going to praise the Lord with him, heaven on earth.
24.
Now this is the verse that proves once and for all, underline it, memorize it, God the Father never did forsake the Son. It just looked that way. You can't forsake yourself. This is the greatest thing Almighty God ever did. He created everybody, and they turned against him, go to false religions, worshiping other gods, worshiping Allah, worshiping the devil, worshiping all kind of gods there, and worshiping beasts. And you think, since he's going to let his own son die, he's not going to watch this, for heaven's sakes. Now watch what God the Father says.
And he?
The word he there in the Hebrew is El Elyon. God, the possessor of heaven and earth, God who dispenses blessing. This is God the Father.
Hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted.
He did not despise Jesus. Jesus is afflicted one. He was watching that.
Neither has he hid his face from him.
He did not turn his back on him. I bet you heard it all over the radio today and television today. No, no, no. He's watching this. This is the greatest thing God ever did. There'll never be any greater event than this. Love, love, love.
But when he cried to him,
he, the Son, Jesus,
he heard.
El, God the Father, heard. And you see, God will not forsake you either.
Amen.
Verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever.
He looks down, he says, people, I'm giving you eternal life. You're not your body. You're going to have eternal life. Look what I'm doing for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Verse 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the kings of the nations shall worship before thee.
After the Antichrist comes at the sixth trump, his time's been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, Matthew 24. The seventh trump shall sound, and Jesus shall come, and every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess, everybody in the world, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
28. For the kingdom is the Lord, and he is the governor among the nations.
Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Of his government there shall be no end. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 29. All that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship.
Now fat means strong. He's looking down into heaven on earth, or just as Jesus comes, as the Antichrist has been locked into a pit, and Jesus comes. What he's saying there, in the heaven on earth, all who are saved, a rejuvenated earth, we're going to eat of the leaves of the tree of life, Revelation 22. And we'll live forever. No more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more age, no more sorrow. We eat. In a little while after we go off the air, we're going to eat that body and drink that blood, communion. And if you have that for real, you shall live forever.
Amen. All them that go down to the dust shall bow before him.
But Jesus cautions, the Antichrist comes first. He's going to look like Messiah, talk like him. The whole world will think he's their Messiah, whatever the religion is. But he says, if you worship him, he's a devil with his Jesus costume on. That's in for you. Your soul is lost forever. Lake of fire.
And none can keep alive his own soul.
If you worship the devil, even though the people, even in half the body of Christ, the five foolish virgins will tell you it's Jesus, you've lost your eternal soul.
Verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be counted to the Lord for a generation.
The Bible tells us, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that there's one generation, the generation of the fig tree, that will not die in the body, but shall usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are that generation, be you 5 or 120. And if you are alive to know that in 1948, Israel became a nation again, then we are the generation of the fig tree. So, that elect generation, not everybody, 7,000 alive right now on planet Earth, we shall usher in the second coming of Jesus.
Verse 31, they shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born.
We were not born in the flesh then, but Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, ere the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. We were all with God before we were born in a spirit body. We were looking down the corridors of heaven and watching all of this and waiting. This last generation, the 7,000 elect alive right now on planet Earth, who are going to usher the second coming of Jesus and have a message. Now, what are you going to say? We're about to find out, elect, what you're supposed to say all over the world.
That.
Here it comes. Here's what you're going to say.
He hath done.
He hath done. Remember the criminal? When he paid his time, done. It's a done deal.
Amen.
That's Hebrew, equivalent of Matthew. It is finished.
This.
This is in italics. God did not say that. Now, Mary's rich uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, asked for the body, and they gave him the body of Jesus, and he buried it in his tomb. Now, remember that Jesus said he would be in the tomb in his body 3 days and three nights. So when was Jesus crucified? It was on Passover. He's the Passover lamb. On that week, there were two Sabbaths. They observed the Saturday. There was a Saturday yet to come. And there was Wednesday, which was Passover. In Bible times, the next day began at sundown. So Jesus' body was in the tomb from Wednesday sundown to Thursday sundown. That's the first day. From Thursday sundown to Friday sundown, that's the second day. From Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, that's the third day. And then sometime he arose from the dead. See, it's not Good Friday, it's Good Wednesday. I pray you got that.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Matthew 28. On the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, the Mary ladies and Joanna came to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. They thought he was dead, although he said, I will arise again. But they said, who's going to roll away that big old heavy stone that weighs 2 tons? And lo and behold, an angel descended and rolled it away, just picked it up. And the angel sat there on the stone, glistening, beautiful raiment. And the ladies were afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not. Ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Duh. I added the duh.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus showed himself alive 40 days to prove he had risen from the dead. It was time for him to ascend back to the Father to sit on the throne where he ever lives to make intercession for you, our high priest. And as he ascended, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Emmanuel, God took a body, died for your sins. He shed his blood for the remission of your sins. He arose from the dead, and he's coming again. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Love never fails.
Amen.
I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What a precious word.
Awesome, precious
awesome.
Word.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Great word, great Scott. Thank you. Anybody in here or out in the world, we're all over the world now. If you're not saved, he came to save you. No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. God died for you. Pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I'm sorry.
I
believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Commission.
Commission.
Omission.
Omission.
All of them.
All of them.
Please wash them all away with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash them all away with the blood of Jesus.
Save me.
Save me.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Sanctify me with thy truth.
Sanctify me with thy truth.
Set me apart for holy use.
Set me apart for holy use.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I receive Jesus as my Savior.
I receive Jesus as my Savior.
Now, for those of you in cyberspace, Romans says with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You're supposed to tell someone. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. You'll get my voicemail. Leave your confession there, and I'll pray for you and welcome to the family of God. You might also like to email me. Here's my email. Sherry, Shari, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. That's Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole world, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, beautiful Savior. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater loveth this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Love never fails. Amen. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the
Trumpet
of Truth.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind.
Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. In the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his
head.
91.5 FM, WMIE. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
God has many Christians who are on their way to heaven who are AWOL on earth.
Dr. Tony Evans says the Lord finds little use for followers who won't stand up for the gospel.
And I can't use them because they want to satisfy the populace, not represent me.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When we've done something wrong, the right thing to do is apologize. But when we've done something right, like confessing our allegiance to Christ, Dr. Evans says it's a different story. Today, he explains what it means to be an unapologetic Christian, loyal to Christ, even when it cuts across the grain of our culture. Let's turn to Matthew 10 as he begins.
You and I are living in a day of no shame. Evil is being publicly paraded. It should be clear today that Christians have lost the home field advantage. We are the visiting team. The culture no longer assumes, as we have said, a Judeo-Christian ethic as normative. It has been rejected in all the systems of the culture at varying degrees. There's no place to run and no place to hide. There was a time when you could hide around your religion or in church. But today, you and I are being called out because the standards have been rejected across the board. It has become crystal clear that whatever remnants of a Christian nation that we had no longer exist. And now we're at the stage where the one entity that was designed to hold the line crumbles too. And so I want to call on me, you, and us to make the decision to be unapologetic Christians, because that is what's needed today. This is not a day for Christianity light. Jesus says in verse 32, "Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." He brings up the issue of confession. He's not talking to non-Christians when he talks about confession and denial. He's talking to his so-called followers. To confess means to publicly identify with. We live in a day of no shame. You see things on television you would never have thought. You would see on television, you hear language that you never thought. You would hear, you